All right, Firestarters, it doesn't feel right to do the actual intro to our show, so we're just going to say hi. This is Menti.
And Features.
And Mr. Maurer.
And Baby Huey.
And this is going to be a very surreal show. It's going to be really hard for me to get my energy up for this one. It's bear with us for the next half hour. It's come to everybody's attention that Stanley has unfortunately passed away at the age of 95. So he's led a wonderful life. But yeah, this is going to be a tough issue to record.
Yeah, this is the news.
Yeah, there's
no other news.
We saw a bit from Elseworlds, but nothing. Everything I saw, like trying to get the news together for this show, just didn't make sense. And Baby Huey said to me, "He's like, man, maybe we should probably just make this the news." And there is no, as Features just said, no news that's anywhere comparable.
Even the big news sources shelved a lot of their news just to talk about Stan. When you looked at the morning shows, they had giant segments on it. When you look at the radio shows, you know, they had not only in their news segments tributes to Stan, but then entire other just memories. Because it seems like everybody out there had something to talk about Stan. So with this happening and it being so close to home,
only 2 minutes in.
If you hear sniffles, we apologize.
Oh, man.
We're wearing sunglasses recording this so nobody can see each other tear up.
So just so everybody has a heads up on the plan for this week, today's show, if you can't tell, is going to be about remembering Stan Lee and the amazing life that he lived. And then on Saturday, come back and we're going to celebrate Stan Lee because that's really what he would have wanted. He would not have appreciated this show as much as he would probably appreciate the Saturday show.
That is true.
That bright smiling man would have been really upset had he heard a show like this. with that being said, I figure we should all just start with our favorite Stan Lee thought, memory, just something about Stan that's personal to you. I feel like that's what everybody's doing right now, is remembering their moment of Stan.
Stan, for those listening that aren't of a certain age, if you're 22 and under, it's kind of been cool to be a geek for pretty much the entire time that you've been around. But for us growing up in almost right before internet happened and comic shops and being
there were comic shops.
well, comic shops, but like when you're just hanging out in the comic shops,
right.
You weren't really popular being a comic book fan. But Stan Lee was like that father figure to all of the misfit toys, to everybody that didn't belong somewhere. He gave us a place to belong, and he made it seem like no matter who you were, you fit in and you were going to be awesome. And it really was just that thing that kind of brought us all together into this community. Without him, we wouldn't be friends.
I agree. Completely agree. Yeah. This wouldn't be a thing. All of you beautiful firesiders that we've been talking to on Facebook, none of us, this, not even just Fireside, but
comic books,
my majority of my life would be different.
Your childhood friends, as you always put it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Well, and comic books were going to go the way of the drive-in theater. Without Stan, we'd be looking at them as a relic of the past. He really did make them more available. He kept them going. And my favorite memory of him was always reading Stan's soapbox, or when he did an intro. You know, back then we had these inside glimpses. Like, who would have thought that a writer would have been one of your comic heroes in that day and age?
But that's what he was able to do. I mean, that was what the coolest part of Stan Lee, in my opinion. The coolest part of Stan Lee is that he was a deadline worker, right? He was the kind of guy who pushed every project to the very last minute. He wrote it overnight and just because he wanted to get the project out and he wanted to pay the rent. Like he said it many, many times where I was just trying to keep the lights on. I'm amazed that it got to the point where it is. But where Stan stood out is not only did he make them relatable, right? He also then communicated all the time. He made the comic come to life by communicating and talking to his fans on Stan's soapbox. And I'll tell you, man, go back and read some of the responses that he would write in Stan's soapbox about things that we're still dealing with today. I mean, racism is a big part. Acceptance is a big part. Love and tolerance and obliterating hate is always a prominent aspect of Stan's soapbox. He's somebody we should all aspire to be.
And with what he did with, you know, even what little power you have to remember, he risked everything sometimes for him to be able to right some wrongs. With Black Panther, even going out there and fighting everybody to get that character made, with the X-Men, to threatening to quit when he wanted to make the Fantastic Four, like the flawed characters they were. He put everything on the line, and he didn't have to. And he did it so that people would have something to relate to.
Feach, you've been pretty quiet, and I don't blame you, but just any thoughts?
I mean, I
know.
No, we're going
to. All right, I'll come back to you, bro. I'll come back to you. I get you. I mean, going off your point with Black Panther, one of my favorite things about even within Stan's soapbox is, or just forget Stan's soapbox, even just his interviews, he would say constantly that he wanted characters to be diverse before diversity was a thing we talked about in comics. It was a goal of his to make sure that was there, because his whole philosophy of life was tolerance. It was treat others as you'd want to be treated. He said, no society can excel if we can't get over that, if we can't get past that. And it's never been more true, which is why this is just a really, really hard day. It's going to be a really hard month. I think every Marvel movie we go to now is going to be.
I'm not staying for the end credit.
No.
At all.
No, and, you know, I made the joke earlier that I just want next month's issue to drop, so we can get the like aha moment. No, he's back, because comics don't let anybody die. It's it's not set in. Like, I keep thinking that Kevin Smith is going to bring him on stage, and Stan's going to make another, you know, slightly offensive joke. You know, for him to be as happy as he was, I don't think people realize he's been pretty much blind for 8 years now. He couldn't hear, and all he got to do, he didn't get to see these movies that he got to talk about, but he knew how big they were and how they were making his characters that he came and helped co-create come to life and impact more people. And that's where he got his joy from. When Brian Michael Bendis talked about some of the times he spent with Stan, he mentioned a story where he was talking to Stan about what the movies are and what's going on them. Because Stan was like, I hear Winter Soldier's great, but I can't see or really hear it anymore. Can you tell me about it? And Brian Michael Bendis, you know, through the conversation, started kind of complaining about like what it was like to publish comics and the stuff he's dealing with. And he realized he was complaining to the guy that basically created his job about his job. And he said Stan was just smiling because he loved just seeing everybody kind of working through the grind to get this out there. And he always, even when he was down, he always seemed like he had enough spark in there to give you a little bit more happiness.
Because to him, it wasn't work. I mean, he says a lot that he was a workaholic. I mean, you hear him talk about his affinity to continue to work through, you know, forever. I mean, hell, he was working until what, 93? Is that when he stopped doing events around there?
93 is right when he stopped, quote unquote.
Yeah, but he still did like West Coast events,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's still, so even when he retired, quote unquote, I wouldn't even word it as retired, because to him, it was never work. That was his whole thing. Is it's like if you love what you do, you don't work. So as long as I'm having fun, I don't see a need to retire.
And it was family for him,
right? I mean, it blows my mind that at 93, that dude is just signing autographs like an assembly line for like months, like just sitting there, just. And that's got to be taxing when you're in your 90s. Could you imagine what that's got to be like? And yet, every person who walked up smiling is why he did it for. He still did it with a smile on his face throughout those Excelsiors. You know, the strength and the will of that man is unrivaled.
And like, so we've talked about it on the show. Menti, you and I have a shared moment, if you will, Stan.
When I didn't know you.
Right.
But the better times of my life.
So when Stan came to CJ's booth, and we weren't really thinking that it was real, because you hear like, oh, this guy's going to come. He likes your stuff. He's going to stop by and say hi. Yeah, okay. You know, we've heard this line before. So for me to kind of turn around and have Stan's hand on my shoulder saying, excuse me, leaving me completely speechless, like, there's not many people that can do that to almost everyone they meet. Like, when you hear people talk about it, everybody goes, the first time I met him, it was magic, or it was unreal, or an experience that can't be described. And it really was. Just being in his presence was different.
Did you hear that, the Hugh Jackman interview? I think he just did The Late Show, or he did Stephen Colbert. And he said, he was talking about Stan Lee, and he goes, you know, you think that, like, this point in my career, you know, I'm Wolverine now, and everybody acknowledges that I'm Wolverine, and I'm like, yeah, I got a little bit of an ego. And he's like, I'm on the red carpet, and I'm waiting for, because it's X-Men's coming out, and I think it was X-Men 2, I forget which movie he was talking about. He goes, so I walk out on the red carpet, and I'm ready for the photographers, and nobody takes a picture of me, because every photographer was on the other end of the red carpet because Stan Lee was there. And that's the kind of power that man had to his fans. And his fans now are all over the world. It's not like the kids in the basement anymore who are reading Stan's soapbox and who are, you know, reading his words through his books. They are now in places of power. That the world we live in is quite literally shaped because the children that he helped influence. Isn't that crazy? Like, why the world is as awesome as it is right now, I would give a lot to Stan Lee, because I think everybody at this table could agree that although DC Comics, especially now, resonate quite a big deal with us, mm-hmm. when you think about why you got into comics, can all of us say that it was a Marvel book that got us into it?
Yeah, I can.
I definitely can.
Yeah.
I mean, I started off as a DC guy with Batman.
I thought you said, I thought your first book was Ghost Rider.
But my first book I purchased was Ghost Rider.
So, but his whole philosophy of making these characters relatable, or why we probably, well, other than Maurer, why we all stayed with comics the way we did. Like, if Spider-Man didn't mean so much to me, would I have decided to pick up the next book? Would I have decided to keep going? Like, when I moved, why was that character moving with me everywhere I went?
Well, and if you think of the characters in Marvel that we really, you know, talk about really caring about, without him, they wouldn't exist. So even characters he didn't have a hand in creating. So for me, Moon Knight. Moon Knight's a flawed character. If there was no Stan, there's no flawed hero. There is no Moon Knight.
Yeah. That domino effect is real. Well, forget. I mean, hell, he made the universe for someone to have the ability to create that character in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... When you think about... I mean, think about how many people work on one MCU movie. Just that one movie. Think Doctor Strange. How many people work on that movie?
They all have jobs for one reason.
And that's one movie. And we're talking the MCU. Forget the MCU. We're also talking, you know, all the Hulu shows, the Netflix shows, the AMC shows. We're talking about all the video games. We're talking that man's mind created thousands upon thousands upon thousands of jobs.
Well, even at DC, like, the impact he had went to DC. Like, you had... Oh, wow, you're allowed to have flawed heroes now. We can do that. So he really did influence them. Even though he didn't work there, they saw what he was doing was being successful, and they were influenced by it. So this is not just a Marvel and DC thing. You know, with Stan Lee, it was comics. Yes, he was known for one. He was known for, you know, being on the Big Red, the brand. But he was truly... an influencer of all comics. Doesn't matter if it's Image or DC or Dark Horse, all of them can put their family tree back to a Stan Lee moment.
You can basically just say he's like the godfather of comics.
Oh, he's the Jim Henson. He is the Steve Jobs. He is
the Walt Disney.
He's the Walt Disney. I mean,
he's Michael Jackson.
Yeah. To his field.
Yeah.
I mean, can you think, when you think comics, think of a name.
Stan Lee is the first name you're going to think of. Right. Period. I don't care who you are.
There's so many artists and so many writers and incredibly talented people. But they will always come second. Even the creation of Superman will come second to Stan Lee. And how crazy is that?
He was a transcending figure. Like, it wasn't what he did that made him who he was, if that makes sense. You know, just his energy out there. He could have never created anybody and still, I think, would have had an impact because of what he did for the comics. Like, you have to think, he got, quote unquote, stealing everybody's fire for the creations, but that's because he was the guy out there selling it and making sure they hit deadlines and making sure Marvel was a thing. So yeah, he was the guy out there waving. Without that portion of him, I mean, the character creation's huge too, but just the fact of him seeing a future for comics and caring about that.
Well, if it wasn't for him, Timely wouldn't have been a thing to become Marvel in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, when Timely went to, what was it, Atlas, and then Atlas to Marvel.
He kept that afloat.
And an antidote on that, the only reason why he got the job is because they fired the two other people and said, kid, can you watch this until we find an adult? So when Timely was just a two people gig, that's how he got his foot in there. He was just filling the ink wells and doing stuff like that, and he cared to do that to its best. Can you imagine, like, if you were told, hey, you're gonna go get sandwiches for these guys and fill up their ink and then erase the pencil marks after they're done for the final things? And he did that with such pride, even when comics were looked down as like a third rate thing.
How you doing over there, Feech?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you had to like update any apps this morning? Any phones?
Worth two.
So, I went into the app store just to update some apps, and you know, you end up on the regular homepage first, and like right there was just a huge splash of Stan Lee. It was like remembering. So they got a whole section, games, Apple iBooks. It's a whole bunch, like a whole list of apps.
So yeah. When you go on iTunes, it's Remember Stan Lee. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Take Back That Earth too.
So it was just like.
It was still out of nowhere.
No, it was. And I deserved it. It's just like that was in my mind like this whole morning. Like, when I got up and that was the first thing I did and I just saw his face, I'm like, man, this is really real.
Well, look at just the outpouring. I don't know about you guys, but I had people from work text me last night. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I had that too.
But think about that.
How many hugs I got yesterday? I even had a funny story of my dad. He knows I'm into comics, but I don't think I think yesterday was the day he found out how much. Because he calls and he in like the definitely the Larry Menti, hey, did you hear Stan Lee died? And I went, oh, you gotta whole man.
Funny thing.
Bring that down a little bit, because then he went, oh, I didn't think you'd be like really broken up about it. I'm like, yeah, that's a gut punch, Dad. That was And as I'm telling him, like, that was a bigger deal, all these people were coming up to me and just showing me their phones where it says that he died and hugging me at the same time. And all these people with, like, and I'm like, I don't think he just, and I think that's true to a lot of people. Like, if you go online right now, you might notice a lot of people going, hey, aren't there bigger things in the world than the death of a 95-year-old man? It's like, understand. Well, and look, I'm not holding it against them because I understand the thought and I understand the mentality, but what they don't understand is the value of this person, because this is not an industry that they care about. Does that make sense?
Or, and you might find it from people that weren't ever someone that felt like they didn't belong someplace.
Sure.
You know, and I really do compare this, like, this is hitting like a family member passing away, because this is who gave us a place to belong.
So for all those people saying those kind of things, you're getting a pass for a couple days
from these two, not me. Don't say that around me.
No, but it was like, you know, even like my boss, you know, saw that I was upset yesterday, and then today, you know, after we talked to the, you know, I got the, you know, I'm really sorry that you know, you're hurting right now. And it was like, wow, like people are now realizing everything that we're going through after seeing how big it was globally that Stan passed.
Yeah. This, again, like I said, this is on the same level as when you heard Michael Jackson died. Like, honestly, it could be bigger, to be honest. But I have both of them on a kind of the same iconic level. You know what I mean?
Like, I thought I was upset when Chris Cornell passed.
Right.
And like that knocked me out for a while.
Yeah, it did.
But this, the worst part is, like, we knew this was coming.
I want to take a second, and I just want to read Mike Coughlin. Yeah. You guys remember Mike Coughlin? Friend of ours. And I just, he wrote something in the Firesiders Facebook group, and I just want to read, because this is someone who's not into the comic world as much, but he understands the importance, and I think maybe this gets the point across. So he said, hey, y'all. So if you can't tell by my lack of post history, I can't say I'm more than a casual observer of this group. I tend to enjoy the pod less for the updates on comic news and more rather for the wonderful banter of three of my friends. But I just heard the devastating news about the loss of the Titan that is Stan Lee. And from the bottom of my heart, I wanted to tell you that I'm very sorry. Despite my only dipping of a toe into the comic world, I know he was a creative genius that changed the world for the good and brought together groups of people like this one. I know what it's like to lose such a giant in your community, and the loss is only more painful because not only was Stan a giant, but the founder. So again, I can't express the depth of my sorry, and I just know that everyone who has ever been touched by the work of this man is mourning along with you.
All right, nobody make eye contact for a few minutes.
Yeah, Mike, it was beautifully written.
So that was the first thing that I got to read after leaving work, because I don't have my phone out on work. The only thing I realized is I looked at my phone when I think it was like 47 text messages.
I just want everybody to be aware. If you can't hear, everybody right now is wiping their eyes. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't.
Allergies.
What did I say? Batman tactical eye lubricant.
Yes.
Anyway, I think so. For the last little, the tail end of this show, I would love if we could. I want to just read some Stan Lee quotes and just hear how it hits you guys. Like, how do you feel after something like that? Or because some of this stuff I think is just words to live by.
As long as one of the quotes is, and now on stage, chastity.
Although, do you remember his quote about digital comics and physical comics? Yeah. That's one of the best Stan Lee quotes ever. When he said, comics are like a boob. Sure, they're fun to look at on a screen, but I'd rather hold one in my hand.
I still think my favorite quote's always going to be, that guy's damn good.
Yeah, no, that and just because hearing his voice, yeah. All right, I try not to do anything that is too close to what I've done before, and it's a nice thing. Then the nice thing is we have a big universe here. It's filled with ideas. All you have to do is grab them. And I think I don't think he's just talking about the Marvel universe on that one. I think that's just life in general. He has a whole other section where he talks about ideas are one thing, but it takes drive to make it happen. And that kind of influence put us in front of these mics.
Well, he says things like that, and then he has people in front of him. And I forget the artist's name right now because it's hard to think. An artist was describing a character that he wanted to like put into a book and come up with, you know, and he had an idea. And the story, like Stan was like, okay, put him in the book. And the artist was kind of drawn back. He's like, this is my character. And he's like, okay. Do you think we waited to ask to create a new character? Just put him in the book. Once he's there, it exists. And once it exists, it's real and you can do what you want with it.
Just do it.
And just to think, he thought like that all the time with everything he did was, okay, what's next? What can I do? What can I help? Like we said, he worked until 93. And that, what the quote
he would argue, he worked till 95.
Yeah. So
I like this one too. Some people will say, why read a comic book? It stifles the imagination. If you read a novel, you imagine what people are like. If you read a comic, it's showing you. The only answer I can give is, you can read a Shakespeare play, but does that mean you wouldn't want to see it on stage?
Mm.
Boom. Mean, roasted.
Facts.
Yeah, that's a...
That's a copy.
Oh. This is another one. This one I love. This is probably my favorite. Another definition of a hero is someone who is concerned about about another person's well-being and will go out of his or her way to help them, even if there's no chance of a reward. That person who helps others simply because it should or must be done and because it is the right thing to do is indeed, without a doubt, a real superhero.
Truth.
And that's that man. I mean, that's just, that was how he lived life. And that's how all he wants. Like, I love when he would talk about, when people would ask him about things like religion, he's like, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. It's not that he didn't have his beliefs. His whole thing was, is that it doesn't matter, 'cause I accept it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This morning, the interview that he did a few months ago, or maybe a year or two ago, where they flat out asked him, are you afraid of dying? And he was very quick to answer, nope, I'm not afraid of dying. You know, every day is a new day. I celebrate it. You know, I just keep moving forward. And he went back to the quote of what Excelsior means, which is upward, always onward. And he's like, I've lived a good life, and I'm going to continue to live my life that way. So for him to be just aware, I mean, his knowing that there's an end to everything, but he didn't treat it that way. He just, I'm sure he woke up the other morning, even in his last day, and did something, you know, thought something creative or shared a story or talked about this universe to someone in some manner as if it was just a normal day for him.
I hope so.
How about this one? Let's lay it right on the line. Bigotry and racism are among the deadliest society ills plague the world today. But unlike a team of costumed supervillains, they can't be halted by a punch on the snoot or a zap with a ray gun. The only way to destroy them is to expose them. That was written in 1968.
Jeez.
Wait, that wasn't last week?
No. That's a brilliant man.
Yeah, okay, so I think the creme de la creme, the one that we need to end the show on, the last quote that I think I should read is Excelsior. I didn't understand what Excelsior meant, to be very honest with you. This was something that I just recently found out, and it blew my mind. And he wrote, you know, my motto is Excelsior, and that's an old word that means upward and onward to greater glory. It is the seal on the state of New York. Keep moving forward, and if it's time to go, it's time. Nothing lasts forever. Excelsior.
Yeah, he had a way of being. I mean, when you hear that Excelsior, I mean, I would like to think everybody can look back, and if they didn't know what that word meant, every time he used it, and go, wow, he really did live that.
You know how many times I said that word as a kid and I never thought to look it up?
Same. Probably.
How many times I heard that word as a kid? I mean, that man, I heard that man's voice more than some of my family members, because it was everywhere. Everywhere. Every cartoon. Every cartoon.
Yeah. Well, this morning it hit. In our morning meeting, we normally end on a word, and I had, you know, said, hey, today, what's the word going to be? And somebody's like, you know, it's got to be Excelsior. And hearing a group of people that might not have known it, just screaming at the top of the lungs that word for all of those that kind of were being hurt right now with this loss, like, it gave energy. Like, that word's now giving new meaning to people that are losing and in pain for this right now. You can just try and live by Excelsior. And try and get through the next day and onward and always forward and always upward.
Well, to the legend, the icon, the veteran, the family member.
And in his words, the award-worthy actor.
and the guy who created most of my best friends.
Yeah.
You're going to be missed. You're going to be missed.
Enough said.